For those of us here who have been with someone who is dying or been with someone at the moment of death, you know that it's a very intense time, often a time when someone is physically or even mentally very, very weak or incapacitated, where that last bit of life is leaving them, and it can be a trembling experience to be on that precipice as this person goes into a place, goes into a rift, goes into a boundary where we've never been before. What happens when someone takes their last breath? What's it like? Who is there with them? What happens next? We gather tonight in a spirit of faith in Jesus Christ, confident that whatever that experience is like, and whatever happens, and whatever transpires at the moment of death, that we are not alone. We are not alone. God the Father sent his Son Jesus into the world, like us in all things but sin. God the Father sent Jesus to be with us in every single experience of our humanity, so that God would be with us there, even holding us by the hand. Jesus' name means God saves, the Anointed One. And he was prophesied in the Old Testament as Emmanuel, literally God with us. You see, God the Father sent Jesus into the world as this kind of anointing, this perfumed oil that would spread out over the whole earth, the whole universe, every human life, so that that anointing oil that saves us from the death and decay of sin would fill in every single place of our lives, even that chasm we call death. For God's love will not be locked out of any room or any house or any place on the earth. God the Father will not permit there to be any place where he cannot meet us in his Son Jesus. And the last stronghold, the last holdout to be overcome by God's love is death. Even there in death, Christ comes to meet us. And you and I will not be alone. We just heard from the Gospel of John the account of Jesus' crucifixion. And hanging on the cross, every victim of that execution, of course, was very, very weak, pinned to the cross, passive, having their life drained out of them. But actually, in the account of Jesus on the cross, we actually see a very different experience. We actually see Jesus extremely active, laboring, having dominion over this experience. It is actually not the cross that takes death, that takes life from Jesus. It is Jesus who lays down his life on the cross. And we see this in a number of amazing ways in the scriptures. First of all, it says that they crucified him, and with him two others, with Jesus in the middle. Jesus' hands are nailed up high. He hangs from the cross. His feet are nailed beneath him. And as his hands are pinned down by the nails, as St. Catherine of Siena said, it is actually love that held him there first. The nails could have no power over him unless he chose to be in that position. And as he raised up his hands over the cosmos, we hear a little bit of the book of Exodus. Moses and the people of Israel have just left Egypt. Their freedom has been purchased, and they're going to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land full of life. But on the way, they encounter a number of enemies who hate them. One of them is the Amalekites. And God says to Moses, send Joshua into battle. And as he battles against the Amalekites, and overcomes them, you go stand on the hill, and you raise up your hands over my people. And as long as your hands are raised, they will have the better of the fight. And so Moses goes up and raises his hands over the people, and they begin to win. They have the better of the fight. But Moses grows tired, his hands begin to droop, and then the armies of Israel begin to lose. And so Aaron and Hur, the priestly people, they hold up Moses' hands until the battle is done, until the path is opened for the people to go to the place of life, the promised land. In the same way, Jesus willingly chose to hold his hands on the cross over God's people, over the entire cosmos, until the third hour came and death would be defeated and God's people would have the better of the fight. You see, on the cross, Christ fought for us. He labored for us. He exhausted himself to hold up the hands of blessing, to overcome the greatest enemy, to overcome death, the wages of our sin. The book of Deuteronomy hearkens to that moment where it says, "Do you remember, O Israel, when Amalek attacked you on the way out of Egypt? Do you remember when you were faint and weak and weary? You were so exhausted. But my chosen one Moses held his hands over you and strengthened you, and you overcame every obstacle. Do you remember that, O Israel?" In our sins and our rebellion against God, we are faint and weak, and we cannot overcome death. But Jesus raised his hands on the cross to bless us, to open the way for us to make our entrance into everlasting life. Another way that Jesus is on the cross very active, that he's laboring to love us, that he's not having his life stolen from him, he's giving his life, is in the account of the seamless garment. Christ wears this seamless garment, and up on Golgotha, they strip him of his clothes, the 10th station of the cross. They strip him naked to pin him to the tree, almost as the first Adam was naked next to the tree. They take the seamless garment off him and they say, "Let us not tear it into pieces. Let's cast lots to see whose it will be." And the soldiers throw dice, they cast lots, so that one of them will have it without being torn. That seamless garment represents Jesus' high priesthood. The high priest of the Old Testament every year would wear a seamless garment. He was to wear it carefully. He was to bring it before the place of offering. He was not to tear his garments, as Caiaphas did just moments before this gospel. It was meant to remain whole and entire. This shows us that on the cross, Jesus is the high priest. He himself, his garment remaining whole, but him being completely human, the new Adam, the one who stands pure before God, not needing to cover himself with anything, totally pure and innocent, he himself makes the high priestly sacrifice of his obedient will to the Father. He takes us into his offering and presents us to God the Father, asking for mercy, asking that when we die, it would be the mercy and love of God upon us and not the wrath and the judgment of the Almighty. Friends, you and I have nothing that we could offer to satisfy the justice of God and to deserve his mercy. But the Father listened to the plea of his Son as he lifted up his body and blood on the tree as the high priest. He offered himself for us, and we join in that offering today in the Eucharist at this altar. As God was pleased with the obedience of Jesus, he accepted his gift and his sacrifice to purchase for us salvation. Jesus is very, very active on the cross. His life is not taken from him, he gives it. Finally, Even after Jesus has died, he himself does one more amazing thing. He gives the gift of the blood and the water. A soldier thrust his lantern to his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. Jesus' heart is opened so that we can enter in. And from the very beginning of the church, that blood and that water has always been understood spiritually to mean the sacraments of baptism with the water and the sacrament of the Eucharist with the blood. Maybe someone who you have known who has died and left this earth has left you a gift, left you a family heirloom, left you an inheritance, left you some kind of thing that would bless you even when they're gone. Well, Jesus gives us these incredible gifts of being baptized into his righteousness by water and the Spirit. And the gift of the Eucharist, his very presence, his very body, blood, soul, and divinity, that every time we receive this host and this chalice, we proclaim the death of our Savior and his resurrection. And we become divinized. We actually begin to share Christ's divine power on this earth as we have the spiritual nourishment. Jesus left us this gift at the tree and asked his church to continue to carry it on. Year after year, day after day, celebration after celebration, commemorating that his sacrifice was made once for all, and yet we rejoice in it, and we can never stop praising God enough that God opened his heart for us, so that when we die, we are not alone, but we're actually held in his heart already, loved tenderly, cherished, adored, wanted. This is the open heart of God for all of us. And it's how Jesus loved us on the cross, willingly laying down his life. Brothers and sisters, there are many different kinds of deaths that happen on this earth. For those of you who have lost a loved one recently, you may be thinking about how peaceful it was for your relative or your friend, that it was just calm and simple, there was comfort there. For some of you, you may have seen the exact opposite. It may have been agonizing. It may have been terrible. It may have been an ordeal that you're still recovering from. But whatever it was like for your loved one, and whatever it was like for you, tonight the Word of God proclaims to us that your loved one and you were not alone. Christ came to meet that person in their last moments. Christ came to meet you and is still meeting you. Christ gave his life willingly on the cross as our warrior, as our priest, as the one who gives us such tender gifts because he loves you. And I want you to know that even in death, you will not be alone. Christ Jesus is the risen one who gives us life. And we hope one day to see our loved ones in the resurrection, and we ourselves to have our very bodies restored in glory. Tonight, as we remember them, as we think about our immortality, let us ask Christ for the gift of hope. Hope to know that Christ is with us today, Christ is with us tomorrow, Christ is with us every day of our lives, even at our last dying breath. God is with you. You are not alone. And you are loved more than you could ever imagine. This is the good news of our faith as we pray today for all souls.